Today's first scripture reading is Genesis 18, 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to greet them and bowed to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I be fruitful?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Yes, you did laugh." And from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to worship this morning on this Sunday as we step into June and it starts to feel a little bit like summer is really in full swing. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First Church. I don't know about you, but this is the time of year that I start to get a little strategic about the times of day when it is actually going to be enjoyable to be outside, and so I plan all outside things to happen, you know, early in the day, and then the choosing which activities will actually be enjoyable to do in the summer heat. And honestly, like from here, fewer and fewer of those exist, right? Fewer and fewer fun things. But thanks be to God for the rain. Amen. So with summer comes a new sermon series. And so our summer series this summer is called Chosen Family. You know, there's your family, and so the people who your genetic code says that you are related to, and then there's your chosen family. Sociologists and other scholars, they use the term fictive kin. Fictive kin. Doesn't that sound so science-y? But I don't know, that seemed like a weird sermon series title, so we went with chosen family. It's no secret that loneliness is one of the greatest struggles of our time, that in spite of being so digitally connected, we are finding ourselves more isolated from one another than ever before. In the United States, we are more likely than ever to live far away from our biological families. We relocate for school or for work, and then soon we find ourselves in cities where we have few or no connections. Anybody had that experience in life here? I know for a fact. Some of you are having that experience today, in fact, newly relocated. Cultural shifts have made it more common to sort of distance ourselves from our family of origin, not just geographically, but socially, relationally. So we're more likely to take a few steps back from the family that we grew up with if we struggle with dysfunction in that family system, or if we have political disagreements with family members, or if we experience rejection by those families. I read this week about a young man who had grown up in a religiously conservative home, and he had struggled to accept his identity as a gay man in that place, in that family. And so when he was with his family of origin, the fact that he was gay seemed to just consume every other part of his identity. It became the only thing that mattered to them. And so he moved away, and it took some time, but he began to build a network of people around him. He met an elderly neighbor who became like a grandparent to him. He met a friend at work, and they became closer and closer, and he began to then refer to some, I've heard some of you say this too, he began to refer to her as his work wife, or his straight wife in his case. He had a group of friends who shared a love of music, and they went to concerts together, and then eventually he met the man who would become his husband. And as he built this chosen family around him, he began to see himself as whole, so that being gay was just a part of his life. It wasn't his whole life. I think that's true for all of us, that as we build a chosen family around us, it helps us to build a whole life, a sense of the fullness of life. Research has shown that 87% of people have at least one person who they consider fictive kin. And the average size of the network that we build is 7.5 persons. I hope I can be a 0.5 person for some of you. You probably already have a picture in your mind of who your chosen family is. Perhaps it's a neighbor or a set of neighbors. Maybe it's a friend or a few friends who are sort of your ride or dies. Maybe it's a small group or a Sunday school class or a group that you serve with here at the church. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with the chosen family this summer. We'll talk about different members of those families, from friends to fur babies. We'll talk about the different things that draw us together, the types of connections that do and don't really fulfill us. We'll talk about our rootedness in God as the one who again and again chooses us and makes us into a family here at church. So even though any one of these, the way we do it in the summer is any single sermon can stand alone. So because we know you're in and out of town a lot and in and out of worship too. And so, but still, I hope that as you come and go throughout the season, I hope you'll keep up with the series on the podcast. You can access that on your Church Center app or through Apple Podcasts as well. Now, building a chosen family, it depends on openness. And that brings us to Abraham in our scripture reading from Genesis today. Perhaps you remember this kind of larger story about Abraham. God has asked Abraham to go on a journey to a new land. Go to a place that I will show you. I'm not going to tell you yet where it is, but just go. I'll let you know along the way. And so God invites Abraham on this journey, and God makes this grand promise to Abraham that he will make, that God will make him a patriarch of a great family, a father of a great nation. And so Abraham set out with his whole household, and he's on the way listening for God, for where God is directing him next. And all along the way, Abraham is wrestling. He has questions of God about where and when and how is all of this going to work. You see, Abraham and his wife, Sarah, they're old, and they don't have any children. So how is he going to be a father of anybody, much less a great nation? This is the time of life when they should be settling down, when the horizon of their planning therefore their lives should be probably getting a little bit shorter. This is not exactly the time for a wild new adventure. But still, here they are on the journey with God to unexpected places. So the journey to a new place was surprising enough, but what unfolded next was a story that really could only be written by God. Abraham was sitting on his front porch when three men appeared. And Abraham ran out to meet them, to invite them in, to make a place in his home, in his life, even if just for a moment, where they would be welcomed. That's the moment that I want you to focus on this week. It's this opportune moment, this opening, and Abraham seizes it. He doesn't wait to see if they notice him. He jumps up and runs out to greet them. He doesn't wait for them to ask him for something. He offers everything that he can possibly think of to make them comfortable, to show them hospitality. He doesn't idly sit back wondering if, I don't know, maybe this is God at work. We'll see. He takes the risk, and he extends himself to find out. There is this moment of openness when Abraham is open and willing to entertain angels. And what will unfold from here will change his life. The strangers are the ones who will announce the coming of Abraham and Sarah's son, Isaac. And that announcement will demand a whole new level of openness in their lives, a whole new level of trust in what God is going to do. But it starts with this initial open door, this first step of willingness to reach out and to invite someone in, to invite someone closer, not knowing exactly what will come of it. It requires taking a risk. Somewhere around 2013, a previous church that I served joined together with a few other churches in the area to offer a day trip for retired folks to go and to see the painted churches of Fayette County. Anyone seen the painted churches of Fayette County? Yeah, I've heard it's great. It's really a beautiful thing. So Gregory, who was a member of the church that I served, he had been widowed a couple of years before. And he stepped on the bus that day, and he walked down the aisle of the bus, and he saw an open seat next to Betty. And if you can imagine, if you remember that moment from Forrest Gump when little Jenny says to little Forrest, "You can sit here if you want." Remember that? In that same opportune moment, Betty offered the open seat to Gregory. And y'all, 2 years later, Betty walked up a different aisle, and she took her place next to Gregory. It'll make me cry thinking about it. As they stood before God and me and their children and their grandchildren, and they made vows to one another to have and to hold from this day forward. Neither of them had it on their bingo card or their bucket list to find love again in their 80s. But they always talked about that opportune moment on the church bus when the seat was open and she offered it. You know, in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table at Holy Communion. Historically, many churches have held communion as the meal of the baptized, as the table of the faithful, where only those who are professed followers of Christ are fed and strengthened for the life of discipleship. Maybe you've been to weddings or funerals at other churches where you've been instructed not to receive communion if you're not a member of this denomination or of even of this particular congregation. That is never the case here. In the United Methodist Church. Here we approach communion with wonder, We ask, if this is God's grace given to us in real, tangible form, how can we possibly limit who receives it? Who are we to decide how and with whom God wants to be at work? We choose to err on the side of openness, taking our cue from God, who is constantly reaching out and extending God's very self to all of us in a bid for connection. We choose to take the gifts that we have been given and to extend them to all God will do next. I wonder where that moment of openness and opportunity lies in your life today. I wonder where someone unexpected might show up, where you might entertain angels unaware. What moment of connection will God use to start building a new, unexpected family in your life, perhaps a chosen family? I hope that you will be looking with God lenses when the moment comes. Amen.